So today we're going to be in John 7 here in a minute if you want to turn there. But first we're going to do a little activity. And so if we go to this next slide, it's going to be a simple one. You're not going to have to talk. Okay, so I'll tell you that. I'll make that deal with you. But I do want some of you to stand up if this is true about you. So think back over your whole life. And has this ever been literally true for you? Have you ever avoided a certain part of town or northeast or whatever, if you've avoided a certain neighborhood or place because people there, you felt like were literally trying to kill you. Like you literally thought, if I show my face over there, like somebody's going to try to kill me. So stand up if that is you. Okay, so I probably need to, I guess, sit down at this point. But so there's, look around the room, there's quite a few of us, right? And so, or quite a few of you guys, I guess I should say. So, okay, you guys can sit back down. Thank you for participating in that. So, here's the deal. When I asked that question, and Eric's just standing strong. Yeah, no, but you can sit down, man. Thank you. So, I asked that question. You probably, some of you that were sitting, probably running through your mind, you're thinking like, man, I'm so glad I'm not like those guys, right? Or some of you that were standing are like, man, I'm so glad I'm not like I was back then, right? Which those are all maybe good points, right? We don't want to be in danger of getting killed by somebody because we owe them drug money or whatever it was, right? Here's the weird thing. If Jesus was physically present, you know, in his sandals here today, he would have stood up when I asked that question. But did you avoid a place because people there were trying to kill you? And here's the thing. If you're here today and you're like, I love Jesus, I'm trying to follow Jesus, then when you see something's true about Jesus' life, and if you're like me and you're sitting down, then you got to ask this question about, like, if I'm different from Jesus, like, that's maybe something I should look into, right? Like, why am I different than Jesus? Is that not all of us are destined to physically be tortured and murdered, right, like Jesus was, but you got to wonder, like, am I following Jesus the right way if I got no friction at all, right? Because Jesus had a whole lot of friction, right? So we're going to be reading this, and as we're reading it, I want you to have a humble heart towards it. Of like, maybe I need to change. Like, maybe the way I've been going isn't exactly the way Jesus went, right? Or the way Jesus wants me to go right now. So we're going to be in John chapter 7, and this is picking up after chapter 6. Jesus, like, refined the whole crowd down, right, to just a few people who really believed, who really trusted him. But then we're going to cover a lot of time quickly. Chapter 6 was a real short period of chronological time. We're going to kind of have a summary statement here in chapter 7, verse 1. It says, after this, Jesus went around in Galilee, and it says he did not want to go to Judea because the Jewish leaders there were looking for a way to kill him. Now, in case you're not up to date on political, geographic stuff from 2,000 years ago in the Middle East, the real quick of it is Galilee is like our neck of the woods in America, right? Like, the big political stuff is probably not happening right here in the Midwest, right? Of like, it's not where all the movers and shakers are exactly. This is where a lot more, hopefully, humble people are. And Jerusalem was like the center of power for that group, right? So Jerusalem was the place where people that wanted to have a lot of power, wield a lot of power within Judaism especially, that's where they were. And even for this whole country politically, that's where they were. So it says Jesus is literally kind of keeping it off the radar in a place where there's not as much power. He's staying there specifically because all the people in power or what? They're wanting to do what to him? Kill him, right? I remember a Maywood guy I got to know pretty well. He and I were driving on some back roads in Independence, and he was talking to me about something like I had just never considered this before. Like, for me, like, I like taking little scenic routes and finding different ways to get places. I like having the windows down, like not going on the interstate as much. For me, it was more about, like, enjoying driving and, like, good gas mileage. Like, I kind of like, the little backways. Maybe a little bit of speed to be able to go a little faster somewhere. This guy talked to me about he used to study, like the back roads in the place that he lived, that he ran around in, because he wanted to, it was like a survival skill to be able to outrun the cops. This is like a real thing. Like, this wasn't like a hot, like, it was like, he would like study it, you know, the same way like I would study like geometry or something. He was like studying the roads because he wanted to know all the little roads better, all the little alleyways better than any cop in that area, right? So being around that, I was just like, your brain works in a whole different way than my brain, right? Same guy, we'd be sitting in a restaurant. Normally when I'm sitting in a restaurant, I try to stay away from the front door if it's like super cold outside or something, because I don't want that like draft of cold air to come in. This guy literally would ask me to get up and move sometimes. He would want to sit as far away from the front door as you could in like a corner, but he doesn't want to face the corner. He wants to face that front door, right? Because he's worried about who's coming in, and he just has this radar up for who's coming in, right? Of like, is there a threat? Again, like, my brain doesn't even go there, because what a like easy, not in danger life I'd led, right? Now, my aspiration is to not be a successful person who robs drug houses, right, or whatever. So I don't need to imitate those things. But I noticed, just being close to him, like, wow, like, our brains see the world in a whole different way. In a whole different way. But when I look at Jesus, and he's got issues that I don't have, and he's making decisions based off things I don't even worry about, if I say I'm following Jesus, then I start to wonder, like, am I doing it the right way? Right? So Jesus was walking around in such a way that people wanted to kill him, and like, that's not true of me. So like, am I sticking close to Jesus? Now, we're not going to all go out of here and exactly, you know, get on people's hit lists or something. But there's something here for us. Let's dig in a little deeper. But when the Jewish festival of Tabernacles was near, all you need to know about that is everybody that was a Jew in that region would go back to Jerusalem. It's this big moment. When that festival was near, Jesus' brothers, now this is not like church lingo about like, you know, Brother David or something. Like, this is like physical brothers, right? Mary's kids type of thing. When Jesus' brothers said to him, leave Galilee and go to Judea, so that your disciples there may see the works you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you're doing these things, show yourself to the world. Jesus' own brothers, he's the oldest, but here they are giving him advice. And their advice is, they kind of take Jesus as like a magician or something. They're like, since you're doing this weird stuff, like, go get famous, you know? Go do your magic act in Vegas type of thing. Like, go get around some people and, like, get a bunch of followers, right? Here's how it gets summed up in verse 5. For even his own brothers did not believe in him. So, have you ever had some advice come out of your mouth? For me, I think it probably don't have to look back very many days. Some advice comes out of my mouth, and that advice is based off of how to be successful in like a worldly perspective, right? Do you have any advice come out of your mouth this week? And if you really judged it, you'd be like, that advice shows that I'm not walking in belief in Jesus, I'm not walking in trust in Jesus. The way I just said to that person needs to change shows that I don't really trust Jesus. Think back to the advice you've given this week. All of us, I've been around groups here at Maywood. You get a small group of us together. Somebody says they have a problem. It is really hard for the leader in that room to pull back the advice train that starts coming, right? Because everybody's got a solution for how this guy should fix things with his marriage or whatever, you know, with his kids or whatever. But if you took all that advice and wrote it on paper, how many of it would you say, like, nah, that is really based off of being successful in some sort of worldly way? It's not built off of we trust that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. So here's one more piece. For some of you today, you don't need all this stuff I'm going to talk about making enemies and getting people frustrated with you. Some of you need to hear something today that I love about this passage, but we're not going to go very deep into it. Jesus felt the hurt of having his own family not believe in him, not understand him, think the thing that was most important to him was like a sideshow joke. Some of you know the pain of being rejected by people really close that have known you your whole life. And you feel all alone in that pain. And I want you to see here, like, Jesus knows exactly what it is to have people that are right next to you in life and they don't get you. And they say stuff that's so demeaning, right? So Jesus went through that pain. Verse 6, therefore Jesus told them. Why did Jesus tell them what he's about to tell them? Because they don't believe in him. They don't trust him and that he is from God to save us, right? So here's what Jesus says to people who don't believe in him, his own brothers. He says, my time is not yet here. For you, any time will do. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me. I'm going to pause right there. If you got your Bible in front of you, you can read ahead, I guess. But I'm going to pause right there. It's the middle of a sentence, but let me pause it. He says, the world can't hate you, but it hates me. This is Jesus talking to his own brothers, okay? They got the same look and skin that he has. They had the same upbringing that he had. But Jesus said, even with all that, we're different. There's a reason that the world's going to hate me that's not going to hate you. Depending on how you've gone through life, there might be times where you've been hated by another group of people, right? It hurts to have a group of people say, I'm against you, right? I'm going to hurt you. Jesus is saying he experiences that kind of hate. Why does he experience it? He says, it hates me because I testify that its works are evil. So Jesus, we got so much to unpack here. Jesus says, I testify that its works are evil. Some of us, we used to be the type of person that would get into all these conflicts or all these fights, but the one thing that was true about all the times that we would tell somebody off or fight against somebody was that we were angry. And now that we are starting to follow Jesus, we know we can't trust selfish anger, at least. So we're trying to shut down our selfish anger. And what we do is then we become this person who is nice all the time, or at least tries to be nice all the time. And so we see somebody doing something that's not good, but we just try to be polite and nice about it. And we can even, I hear this sort of stuff come out of me with people all the time about, like, I just want this person to be happy. And, like, that is such a dangerous statement with people, right? Like, Jesus did not come so we could be happy from, like, a worldly perspective, right? And when that comes out of our mouth, it, a lot of times it's more about, I want to be kind to this other person. And kindness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. We should be kinder than we were before we knew Jesus. Jesus' kindness, though, is this sort of thing, like, as people are nailing him to the cross, he's saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Like, Jesus has this level of kindness that we are not approaching yet, right? Like, this amazing love for others. This amazing amount of, I'm not bitter. I'm not trying to throw it in people's face. But he also used his words in such a way that he really ticked off some people. We have to look at that and say, like, if we never say anything that ruffles anybody's feathers or makes anyone upset, you got to ask the question, like, are you giving Jesus ownership of your mouth? Because here Jesus says, I'm saying that what they're doing is evil and they hate me for it. And I can tell you from first-hand experience that there's no quicker way to get people to hate you than to go to them face-to-face and say, what you're doing is wrong. I mean, it can get people really upset at you really fast, right? I'm not talking about, like, getting on Facebook and, like, typing your best thoughts about, you know, here's what America should do with guns, you know, and then, like, oh, somebody didn't like that and they got mad at me. Like, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about going to somebody and saying, like, what you're doing isn't the right way to do it. People won't like that, right? Okay, I'm going to break it down for us a little bit further because I don't want this sermon to just be this excuse of, like, I can say whatever I want. And as long as I can find a verse about it, it doesn't matter who I make mad because, like, that's not the way that Jesus lived, right? So we're going to try to dig into this a little further. Okay, let's see. What else does Jesus say? Verse 8, you go to the festival. I am not, or some manuscripts will say not yet, going up to this festival because my time has not yet fully come. After Jesus said this, he stayed in Galilee. Now next week we'll talk some more, and as we get into the coming verses, he does eventually go to this festival. But in that moment, at the beginning of the festival, it was not yet his time to be there. And we don't have to look any further than this passage to see a good principle about saying words that ruffle feathers. When you say words that ruffle feathers, not every moment is the right moment for your best idea about how someone else is wrong. Like, do you understand that? Like, Jesus himself, as perfect as Jesus is, could say, this is not the right time for me to say that thing that nobody wants to hear. I'm not nearly as good as Jesus, right? So if Jesus had to limit when he was around somebody or when was he going to open his mouth with this person, I know that I'm going to have to limit my good ideas about why other people are wrong, right? There is a right time to go to somebody and say what you're doing is evil. What you're doing isn't the way that Jesus wants you to do it. And Jesus had limits on himself, right? About showing up. He looked for the right moment. Now, it was the right moment when the other person said it was? Not necessarily, right? But I want to give us just a few thoughts that I had about not the right moment, okay? These are from some experience, right? So I definitely can tell you, like, it's not the right moment just because you're right. Just because you know what's best, even if that actually is true, like that's debatable. But even if you do know what's best, that doesn't instantly make it the right moment. Because Jesus always knew what was right. And even he had to say, like, I'm not going to go right now and say it, right? So just because you're right doesn't mean you should open your mouth. Just because the other person is making a huge mistake doesn't mean you should open your mouth, right? Maybe they're about to go do something terrible, and you can see it, and you can see how bad it's going to be for them. I have sat next to people who are about to do horrible things to their spouse and lose and destroy their marriage, and I've told them, I literally opened up Galatians 5 and said, like, this is what you're doing. You're planting evil in your life, and you're going to have consequences. This is not going to go good. And I've had them walk out the door totally unchanged, and nothing good happened, right? So even though I was maybe right, and even though they were about to drive off a cliff in a way, like as far as like relationally, I don't know that it was really a fruitful or right moment, right? I can tell you from having some successful conversations that when you go to somebody and not just you love them or you think that you love them, but that other person has walked through enough life with you that they know that you care about them, this conversation goes a whole different way. When they know that you sacrificed and you showed up for them when they needed you, or you were there for them when their niece was in the hospital, or whatever it might be, like when they know that you really love them, and then you go and you say something face to face of like, I think you're wrong. Not in like a judgmental way, but in like a truthful way. It is received differently. I can't tell you, it's more powerful. But I also have to warn you, sometimes it still doesn't work out. Like, and working out, there's a lot of different ways to judge working out. Sometimes the right thing to do is to go to somebody and say the right thing, even if they never want to see you again, right? Some people rejected Jesus. That might happen to us. But I would still tell you, just because you love them, and just because you have the courage to go talk to them face to face, it's still not the fullness of what we see here. Because there's two groups of people in this passage. One of them was mentioned really quick. And we don't need to talk about them very much because they're silent during this. But what is it? There's Jesus, obviously. But then there's his brothers who talk quite a bit. But then who else is there? It says he's going around in Galilee. And he's got his disciples there, right? So who are these disciples? These disciples are the guys who stuck with them even when no one else would. They're the guys that are quiet in this passage. But we'll see later on, they're the guys that go with him on his timing into Jerusalem, right? What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? It means that Jesus is our leader. So when's the right time to say something about how someone else is wrong? It's when you can confidently say, like, Jesus is leading me to confront this person. Because just because you're right or just because they're wrong doesn't mean it's going to change that person. Doesn't mean it's going to be the right thing to say. But if you can confidently say, Jesus has told me now is the right time to tell this other person that they're wrong, then go with it, right? And you do your best to know that. But I want to give us a picture, and I want to talk about something else to wrap us up today. So this last picture we've got here is of this kind of foggy scene. And I think, honestly, this is where we're at on our walk with Jesus. Things are pretty foggy here. And you got one shepherd and a bunch of sheep. So how do those sheep know where to be? They know that shepherd's voice, and they stick close to him, right? And I'm here to tell you that if you never talk to somebody else about what they're doing is evil, like, I think you're missing some of what Jesus wants you to do. You're missing some of following Jesus. And you're in danger of being nice instead of being courageous. And following Jesus takes courage. But if you're running around telling everybody when they're wrong and you're not checking in with Jesus, then you're going to do a whole bunch of hurt. If you are hesitant to tell other people they're wrong, then you need to go to Jesus for courage and say, Jesus, I'm guessing that I'm too hesitant. What do you want me to say? And if you're the type of person that often is hitting other people over a club with how wrong they are, you need to go to Jesus and say, Jesus, what's the one that's the right time? Let me pull back on my advice and only confront people when I'm confident, like, this is what Jesus wants me to say, right? So if you're like, well, Jake, I don't even know where to begin. How do I even begin with this? How about you start with doing some praying for somebody else in your life? And if you got a little phone with a timer, or if you got a one-minute timer somehow, what if you prayed for that person for a minute, and then you listened to Jesus for a minute? And you just kept doing that until you felt like you had a guess of what Jesus wanted you to say. Because if you're not willing to even, like, ask Jesus to help them and change them, you probably don't need to talk to them. Or you don't need to tell them they're wrong. And if you're not willing to listen to Jesus at least for a minute, then you probably can't trust yourself to tell me wrong either. But if you do that for several days and you're like, I feel some confidence, right? And you're in a lot better spot. I also could tell you one of the successful times where I went and confronted somebody I loved about what they were doing that was wrong. I went to Pastor Bob right there because he's my mentor. And I said, Bob, this is everything that I'm thinking. And I'm confused. Am I doing this for the right reason or the wrong reason? And I got his blessing before I went and had the conversation. And maybe you need a person like that. Like, you go to your sponsor, you go to your small group leader, and you say, I'm thinking about talking to somebody about an area that I think they're wrong in, but let me get your blessing on it, right? God gave us a body for a reason, right? Because here's the danger we run to. Two things can happen. If we start beating each other up, if we bite and devour each other, we can destroy ourselves, right? If we become a judgmental place where we're all telling each other how we're wrong, it's going to destroy what God's doing here. We'll tear it down. That's a fast way to be destroyed, right? The slower way, though, is if we're all nice and we're a little bit fake with each other, we're never going to be who Jesus wants us to be, right? So we got to go through this together. Like, we're going to learn how to talk truthfully to each other. We're going to listen to Jesus about when to talk. And we're going to hurt each other's feelings. But along the way, Jesus is going to take us together to be like him, right? Because I'm definitely not always right, and none of us are always right. So we're going to need each other's correction, right? Go to somebody face-to-face if you're going to have one of these conversations. Don't call them. Don't not text them. Go to them face-to-face and say, hey, I think Jesus has laid this on my heart to tell you, and tell it to him, okay? I want to pray a blessing over you guys if you bow your heads. Jesus, I pray this week we would know your love. It's coming from a place you went through so much rejection. And I pray today we would know your love for us. And Jesus, I pray out of love, we would speak your truth to each other. Help us to submit to you. You are our good shepherd. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.